This is SB Nation Radio. Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's your host, lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Today's edition of Bassmaster Radio is brought to you by Enigma Fishing. Cast, catch, repeat. And visit Anderson.com, South Carolina's bright spot and home to beautiful Lake Hartwell. And by the Bass Angler Sportsman Society, home for the greatest professional fishermen in the world in the Super Bowl of bass fishing, the Bassmaster Classic. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, just visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Now, the best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the home button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Well, this is the week of the giant bass, giant brown bass caught by the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series guys at the St. Lawrence River, and giant greenies caught by the Elite Series sticks at Gunnersville in the Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite at Gunnersville. Now, on day one alone at the St. Lawrence, 85 college teams had 20 pounds or more. As always, that's for a five bass limit. The elites at Gunnersville will wrap up on Championship Monday, and next week we'll bring you both the college and elite winners and a full wrap-up of those events. Now, if you're listening to this show live on Saturday, the city of Scottsboro, where Goose Pond Colony is, has combined with Bass to present the Miracle Mile Festival in conjunction with the Bassmaster Outdoor Expo. Tons of stuff going on out there. And Meg Nippers, the Scottsboro Events and Marketing Coordinator, is coming up to tell us about that. Then 2007 Elite Rookie of the Year Derek Remitz, who now is a top guide on Gunnersville, gives us the intel on the lake the pros are fishing this week. And then after that, Jesse Tacarante, who is sidelined this week after a controversial DQ on an information rule violation, joins us to explain what went wrong. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock. It's a big fish, big stage, big penalty edition of Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over half a million outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster Magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for a chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shyrock. One winner will receive round-trip domestic airfare, 3 nights hotel accommodations, a rental car, and $500 spending money. Our winner will also take home a Phoenix 618 Pro XP with a Mercury 150, plus a Lowrance HDS Live 7 with active imaging, a Rigid Industries deck lighting system and backup kit, gear from Abu Garcia, Bob's Machine, and more, and a Field & Stream $500 gift card. Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for more information.
The Bassmaster Elite Series is going from one big bass factory to another as the tour visits legendary Lake Gunnersville, which will host next spring's Bassmaster Classic. The Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite at Gunnersville will go out of Goose Pond Colony June 21st through the 24th. This is a Friday through Monday event with the takeoffs and weigh-ins at Goose Pond each day, and the Outdoor Expo will be there Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday from 1 to 3, you can meet the elites as well at Angler Alley while the entire family takes in all the fun of the expo. For some of you, fantasy fishing is dragging a frog off a lily pad and seeing a 6-pounder engulf it. Well, yeah, that is pretty good. But how about Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing? Set your team now at Bassmaster.com/fantasy, and you can win great prizes at each event. First place winners receive a $2,500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. And if that winner is a BASS member, they get an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. And the season-long grand prize winner will receive a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175. So sign up now.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
Hey, welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And, of course, with the elites at Gunnersville Lake and going out of Goose Pond Colony in Scottsboro. And for those of you that don't know, Scottsboro is kind of mid-lake, maybe a little more northeast, up the lake, certainly northeast from the city of Gunnersville. We thought, you know what, let's reach out to Scottsboro and to Meg Nippers, who is the events and marketing coordinator for Scottsboro, and get her thoughts on what's going on up there. And she joins us now. Meg, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me. We're excited about you guys being in town.
Yeah, it is. It's an exciting thing. And to go out of Goose Pond Colony, and let's just talk a little bit about what's going on there at the marina, because not only is it this event, but then it's the Bassmaster Classic next March. And I understand, and I get down to Goose Pond Colony quite a bit. I don't live too far from there myself. But I understand there's a lot going on with ramp expansion, parking lot expansion, and all of that. So just talk a little bit about how the marina area is really being upgraded.
Yeah, that's a great point. It really is. You know, we've hosted countless tournaments over the years. The folks at Goose Pond actually went in and calculated everything last year and found out that we were hosting over 200 tournaments a year from the three-lane ramp that's there currently. And so they went to the city, and of course the city always wants to help expand and tourism, whatever we can do for that. And next year we'll be expanding, really at the end of this year, expanding that boat ramp there from three lanes to eight lanes.
Wow.
And that will include a handicap accessible lane also. So anyone will be able to come in. It's a public ramp. You can come in and access it anytime. But yeah, it's just going to blow up there at Goose Pond.
Now, will that include additional dock space? Because it seems like, I mean, that's the one thing. You get a decent sized tournament, the boats kind of stack up on the docks, and they are beautiful docks there. But with eight lanes, will there be an expansion in the area of additional docks?
Yeah, there is an expansion planned also, and I think that they were talking about putting another floating dock out there also.
Right. Right. You know, some of us have always thought about that area where the amphitheater is, where there's additional overflow parking down there, and always thought that, wow, how cool would it be to have, you know, a ramp? You could build a huge ramp down there, and they'd have that amphitheater. And that. But that's all closed, right? The amphitheater is not used anymore. I mean, that's not something that's in, you know, that is used for any events, right?
It's used from time to time. Okay. We'll be using it this weekend, where, you know, with our free concert after the weigh-in on Saturday. So the area is used, but not as frequently as it used to be.
Yeah, it'd be a neat weigh-in facility, you know, if there was a way to draw us, have a road in front of it, and they'd have that beautiful little stadium for weigh-ins and so on. Okay, so
yes.
As part of this, Meg Nippers with us, events and marketing coordinator for the city of Scottsboro. So as part of the usual Bass Outdoor Expo that they have at all of the elite tournaments, you guys have kind of ramped that up with the Miracle Mile Festival at the Bassmaster Elite Series. And before we get into the details of the Miracle Mile Festival, the Miracle Mile, that's a really cool term. And where does that come from?
Actually, it comes from the anglers. So like I said, you know, we host 200 or so tournaments a year at Goose Pond Colony. And it seems like no matter where the anglers put in the water, whether it's in Gunnersville, anywhere in Scottsboro, somehow if they're in North Alabama on Lake Gunnersville, they always seem to hit the lucky spot right there around Goose Pond Colony. So
the Miracle Mile being that stretch of lake, basically either side of Goose Pond Colony, and of course all that area where the various creeks that kind of come together there is a big part of that as well. So the Miracle Mile Festival at the Elite Series event, tell us some of the things that are going on there.
So it's going to be fun for the whole family, really. We really wanted to expand on the expo that Bass brings into town. We know that's going to be great for everyone. So we'll have some local vendors, some local food vendors, local arts and crafts folks that are coming up. We'll have a kids area with bounce houses. And then we're going to wrap up the night on Saturday with a free concert with some great local bands also.
Yeah, and this is a little more non-endemic. I think a lot of times folks that go to the outdoor expos that are associated with the Elite Series, you know, there's a lot of fishing-type vendors and so on. But this is more open to everybody. I mean, anybody who, you know, you don't necessarily have to be a fishing fan to come out there and take advantage of some of the great arts and crafts vendors that will be there, right?
That's absolutely right, yeah. We really wanted to open up and make it feasible for the whole family to come. All the events are free. And just see what's going on, see, you know, what Bass brings to town. And then also there's jewelry, there's woodworking, things like that for the whole family.
And for visitors that are coming into the area for the first time to Scottsboro, really interesting place, isn't it? It's more than just a lake. I mean, it's a great lake community, but there's Scottsboro where all the expansion is out there in 72 and on 79 and so on, and all your big box stores and things like that. But the old Scottsboro, the village, the town square type area is really, really special, isn't it?
It is. It really is. We have some really unique shops there. We have, we like to brag about it, the oldest soda fountain in the state of Alabama. It's kind of our cornerstone there on the square called Payne's Drug Store. You have to stop in anytime you come to Scottsboro there, of course.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. My wife and I always make the stop there when we get the opportunity to grab the ice cream and hang out at the place. And it has that old school feel, which is really cool as well. All right, so then... in March, the Bassmaster Classic, the 50th Bassmaster Classic, which can be very special, will be staged in terms of the fishing out of not only Gunnersville but out of Goose Pond Colony specifically, and you know, the weigh-ins will be down in Birmingham, so it's kind of a split venue type thing. But just talk about the preparations that are in place for that, because we saw in Knoxville last year they had 4,000 and 5,000 people showing up for that for those morning launches and so on. And I think that there's going to be a lot of folks flooding to the Scottsboro area to see the pros go off and then come back in each day.
Absolutely. Well, you hit on it a little earlier. You know, we are a lake community, and there's such a demographic here that just loves the anglers, loves to fish. I know there'll be a great crowd for the Bassmaster Classic.
No, there's no doubt about it. And Scottsboro is the perfect venue for something like that. It's exciting, too, to see the work that is going on at Goose Pond Colony. And it's an interesting relationship between the operators at Goose Pond and the city of Scottsboro that basically owns the land, if you will, right?
Yeah, and it's a lot of, you know, the Tennessee Valley Authority, TVA, they have a large stake in the land also. But we've just really formed a great partnership over the last few years, and the city's been very invested in all the expansions, the boat ramp like we talked about earlier. We just expanded the parking lot there at the marina at Goose Pond, so now there's probably triple the parking that there was before. So it's just been a great partnership, like I said, the last few years especially.
And we know that the ramps are going to be closed. Meg Nipper's with us, the events and marketing coordinator for the city of Scottsboro. The ramps there will be closed during the tournament itself. But there's plenty of parking, too. I think that will parking be available not only, you know, right around the area, but all down in the overflow, down by the amphitheater, and over at the marina? Will people be able to use those lots?
Yes, of course. So parking is free. Again, you know, we wanted to make it easily accessible for anyone that wants to come out to sneak in for the festivities. There's actually a few different overflow parking lots. If you're familiar with the Goose Pond area, it's basically, you know, just one long drive into the marina. And we will have free shuttle buses also taking folks from the Civic Center down to the marina, or from the amphitheater up to the marina.
Very, very cool. All right, that's great for everybody that's coming down to the event. Meg Nippers has been our guest. Meg, I appreciate you, and appreciate the work that Scottsboro is doing. The Miracle Mile Festival at the Bassmaster Elite Series on Saturday, June the 22nd. The arts and crafts and vendors and food and free concert Saturday night. It's going to be a great time out there for sure. Meg, I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Meg Nippers talking about that. And it is an incredible facility. I've been going to Goose Pond for years and years. I've stayed at the cabins at Goose Pond. They've got a fantastic golf course there right on the grounds as well. It is as cool a place as you could possibly ask for. All right, let's get a break in here. When we come back, speaking of Guntersville, Guntersville guy Derek Remitz, you might remember him as the Elite Series Rookie of the Year in 2006. He's going to tell us what that lake is fishing like these days. He's next right here on Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
From dawn to midday to dusk, the sun's rays dance across the water and the sparkling light beckons. The abundant shorelines invite you to play or sail or simply behold. This is where champions fish and families gather to unwind. It's Lake Hartwell, and Anderson is the gateway to its wonders. Walk on a pier, float all day, and restore your soul in this beautiful oasis. Visit Anderson, South Carolina's bright spot. Discover more at visitanderson.com and visitlakehartwell.com.
Tom Abraham here for Enigma Fishing's Epon series of rods. I recently got my rods and was stunned at the quality of the workmanship that went into these rods. Enigma is known for the highest quality materials and components, but the Epon rod also combines great looks with some tremendous creature comforts as well. From the extremely comfortable reel seat to the E-wrapped handles and even a well-thought-out bait keeper. 10 models from drop shot rigs to a stout flipping stick. They've got them all at a great price. Visit EnigmaFishing.com for more. That's EnigmaFishing.com. Finally, the long-lost missing opening day of Bassmaster Live is here. That's right. Now, all 4 days of each Bassmaster Elite Series event can be found at Bassmaster.com and ESPN3. So tune in as the crew of Mark Zona, Dave Mercer, Davey Height, Ronnie Moore, and Mike Soukhan are all led by the captain himself, Tommy Sanders, during each and every Bassmaster Elite Series event. With more cameras and more boats than ever, this season of Bassmaster Live is certain to be must-see streaming. Just don't let the boss look over your shoulder, unless they're a Bassmaster fan too. The Bassmaster Elite Series is going from one big bass factory to another as the tour visits legendary Lake Guntersville, which will host next spring's Bassmaster Classic. The Academy Sports and Outdoors Bassmaster Elite at Guntersville will go out of Goose Pond Colony June 21st through the 24th. This is a Friday through Monday event with the takeoffs and weigh-ins at Goose Pond each day, and the Outdoor Expo will be there Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday from 1 to 3, you can meet the elites as well at Angler Alley while the entire family takes in all the fun of the expo.
This is Bassmaster Radio. Watch Bassmaster Live at Bassmaster.com and on ESPN3 during every Elite Series event. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And our next guest is one of the outstanding guides on Guntersville Lake. And you may remember him as 2007 Rookie of the Year on the Elite Series Tour. He burst onto the scene, won his first event right out of the chute, nicknamed Wolverine, and is a guy that has had a tremendous career both as a professional fisherman and now as a guide on Guntersville Lake. It's Derek Remitz joining us to tell us how this lake is fishing these days. Derek, welcome in. How are you, man?
Oh, doing good. How you doing today, Tom?
Oh, man, fantastic. And, boy, I was just on the lake last week at the TOC event, which you and I won a couple of times together as well. So you know that event very, very well. Man, it's interesting how the grass has changed so much. It seems like everywhere there used to be hydrilla, for the most part, is now this eel grass. And it's a totally different kind of grass to fish.
Oh, yeah. We've had eelgrass for probably 8 or 10 years, but the hydrilla's always been growing fast enough to take it over. But probably the last 3 or 4 winters we've had, you know, just some cold floods have really taken a toll on the hydrilla. There's still some, but the eelgrass has really taken hold. I mean, it's kind of growing everywhere, though, the hydrilla used to be. So fish still use it. It's just fish is a lot different. It's really changed the fishing out here.
It does fish differently, and while I heard that, you know, some people think one of the reasons that the eelgrass was able to take hold as much as it has, especially this year, is the fact that there was a lot of high water and there's been a ton of current. I mean, big, heavy current as they have pulled a lot of water from the lake, and you wonder whether or not the eelgrass is more suited to when there is strong current.
Yeah, it always seems to grow better in rivers. You know, like what I've seen fishing across the country, rivers and cooler conditions seem to be better, too. Like, it tends to not die off, but kind of get knocked back in the heat in the summer. But like all, you know, from now, well, call it probably January through this time of year, it's really prevalent. And you know, the fish love it. I've not ever fished a lake or river in the country that hasn't been fishing the eelgrass. It's just, we've got so much, they tend to roam around a little more in it right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And the other issue I think that the guys are dealing with this weekend is water temperatures aren't what, you know, they typically are this time of year. We've had some hot stretches, but not as much as we would normally have by now. And I know for me last weekend, it was hard to find 80-degree water. I mean, it was pretty much surface temp-wise all in the 70s. And you know, it seemed to be the fish were in the grass. The guys that were going to the usual ledge spots looking for those shell beds and so on did not do nearly as well as the guys who stayed in the grass off of the main channel. It seemed to be is that a temperature related thing?
I think it's a lot of multiple parts to that equation. I think the fish have kind of adapted to not getting offshore as well. I mean, they do periodically, but they don't stay out there anymore. You know, like some of those years when we fished, you know, those schools would just keep getting bigger and bigger and they'd stay there for a month. But, you know, all this technology and everybody getting better and the mapping and these crazy electronics, I mean, they're out there to be found now. And then they know it. You know, I know we fished a few times where I'm pretty sure I remember telling you, like, the fish know when Saturday starts, you know, compared to a Wednesday. So it's not that they're not offshore. They're just not out there that good, you know. They are a certain day, you know. It's just a really big timing deal. Like, for a guy to do well offshore, you're going to have a little bit of luck on your timing as far as somebody not being there and the fish pulling up at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the days, and it was only for a minute, you know, it seemed like, but I remember the days where, yeah, you and I would fish together and throw those big, you know, 7-inch swim baits, and you could feel the bait bounce off fish in the school.
Oh, yeah.
And we were shaking off 5-pounders like there were rats, you know. We're like, oh, no, that ain't going to help. That's a 5. You know, we're looking for all 7s, If guys are out there this weekend just fishing history, they're going to get in trouble because, that's a needle in a haystack deal right now, it seems like.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of what I was talking with some of my buddies around here. It's like, I really, you know, typically you would think TVA, June, be all ledge fishing, be the way I get one. But it's really good to me, honestly. It's going to guys that have several different patterns going on, you know, not necessarily junk fishing, but have 3 or 4 things going on between offshore, grass, topwater, you know, just multitude of things, because that's kind of the way it's been for me on a lot of trips. You just kind of have to figure out what's working best that day and run with it.
Derek Remitz, 2007 Rookie of the Year, and a guy that, especially on the Tennessee River, was a hammer on the Elite Tour, retired from the Elite Tour to take care of his kid and do a lot of guiding now on Gunnersville based out of Grant. And you can, by the way, you can book him at DerekRemitz.com. Just go to DerekRemitz.com to fish with him on Gunnersville Lake. And, you know, let's talk more about the grass aspect of it then, because it seems like the grass that is most productive, maybe grass that's right off of the river channel where there is nearby deeper water for those fish to get to. But there's just miles and miles of it. And what do you look for to make certain stretches better than other stretches, or are they everywhere in that grass?
Oh, yeah. That's, to me, you know, it's kind of just over the years of what I've found is more. So to put it in hindsight, like the eelgrass is right where the hydrilla always used to be.
Right.
So, and, you know, a lot of the old hydrilla stretches are just eelgrass, but the fish are still using it. But what kind of helped me figure out, especially on the main river, is like you're looking for a turn or a bend in the river rather than just a straightaway section on the river. And what always kind of helped me find that was when the hydrilla would be matted, you know, you'd see a straight line of hydrilla and then all of a sudden it would make a bend. And, you know, I say a bend, but it'd be a mile long. So.
Right.
But that's the main thing, you know, and basically just covering water, like the eelgrass, I've always noticed, like, when I make a mark somewhere where I've caught one in the eelgrass, there's always another bite right around there somewhere.
Yeah.
So it'll be, you know, you just have to basically just fish for a while, cover as much water as you can. When you do start getting bites, then slow down because there's usually more fish around. It's the same as any kind of grass. They're always using one certain part of it, but it's just a matter of It's not a needle in a haystack. It's just a lot of searching to find those couple stretches.
Yeah, and it is interesting the way it fishes as well. My experience has been that there are cuts within the grass. I mean, the grass, you have the run of the grass, but there are always little points, always little places where, you know, the grass, as it's dropping down to 6 or 8 feet of water, where it might be petering out a little bit, or there's a little point that's made, or there's pockets and clumps around. And, you know, it seems to be that those are the areas, as opposed to areas where it's just a mile-long stretch of just straight, thick grass.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it is too. You know, you'll a lot of places will be, you know, maybe not necessarily on the main river, but there'll be like the primary points leading into creeks. You know, that's basically used to always be milfoil, and is that eelgrass now too. So they just use a lot of that kind of stuff the same way they used to use the milfoil as well. And you find a lot of times on the main river too, there'll be a little bit of milfoil or a little bit of hydrilla mixed in. And we've got this other kind of grass out here that I don't even know what the name is for, but it's growing everywhere the hydrilla used to be. But if you can find like those clumps of grass, and another good level, coontail is about the best if you can find that basically you have a whole field of eelgrass with 2 or 3 foot taller clumps of coontail in it. That's some of my best stretches I've ever found have had that on it. You know, it's just that little, it's like having bushes in basically underwater bushes pretty much.
Yeah. You know, we just talked to Meg Nippers from the city of Scottsboro, and they have the Miracle Mile Festival going on later on today as part of the whole Elite Series Expo and so on going on at Goose Pond. And I asked about the Miracle Mile term, and she says that that's a name that the fishermen use. Now, I've been here almost 15 years, and I never really heard that before, but she said a lot of folks refer to that stretch around Goose Pond as the Miracle Mile. Now, I know you fish this lake from one end to the other as a guide, but do you find that stretch around Goose Pond is some of the most productive areas in the entire lake?
It typically is. You know, it's kind of like everywhere on the lake. It seems to cycle every couple of years. You know, like when the first few years I started living here, that's all I heard about was the Miracle Mile. Basically, from Mink Creek to Goose Pond is what they consider the lake, which... Yeah. There's so much going on there, you know. You got the main river, you got the, you know, the grass flats where it used to be. Some years the hydrilla would be matted from the river channel all the way to the bank on that side. But there's a lot of ditches and drains and road, you know, just got everything they like on it. And for me personally, it's not that the fish aren't there. I just haven't done as well there the past few years. But 2 or 3 years ago, it was the place to be. So, but that's kind of the way everything works on it. And most lakes, you find that too, where it's, you know, 1 5 or 10 mile section will be pretty hot for a couple of years, and it'll kind of peter out, and then something else will pick up. And it's basically just a matter of finding those areas, and everywhere on the lake, you know, the fish use year round.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And fishing that eelgrass is a little bit of a different animal. I've found out your thoughts on it. Obviously, top water is always very productive in the grass areas, and a lot of fish have been caught on top water already. I know guys that are catching fish on frogs over the top of that eelgrass and so on. But it seems like you can swim a jig through there, and you can swim a big worm through there. What are some of the techniques that you like to use in that grass?
Yeah, that's, you know, to what you mentioned there, like swimming a worm, you know, speed worm or big worm is always good through the eelgrass. If you have to slow down, or chatterbait and any type of, you know, 4 to 6 foot running crankbait. The most important thing with, it's like any grass, but especially with the eelgrass, is that just whatever you're fishing, you just want to be ticking along the top of it.
Yeah, and it'll come up and soon. It seems like it's getting really near the top here in a lot of spots.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the eelgrass. It just grows to a point, and then it breaks off. That's what I said. You can probably notice last week, like just fields and fields of eelgrass floating around out there.
Right.
And, you know, boat traffic, wind breaks it off too, but I think it just grows to a certain point. So it's always about 3 or 4 feet tall. So and I've seen it too, a lot of times where you take off and then the eelgrass come floating up behind you.
Right.
So there's just tons and tons of it. But whatever you end up fishing in the eelgrass, it's pretty much all year is how they like it, is, you know, you're get down to the grass and you just want to keep it. You're more moving the bait with your rod than you are with the reel to try to keep it just ticking along the top of the grass.
It's good stuff. Derek Remitz has been our guest. 2007 Elite Series Rookie of the Year. Now a guide on Gunnersville. You can book him at DerekRemitz.com. Derek, appreciate you so much, and maybe we'll see you bumping around somewhere up there at Goose Pond over the weekend.
Yeah, I might have a little free time Friday. I might come in and check out and see some of the old guys I used to hang around with.
Derek, thank you. When we return, Jesse Tecarante, he's also bumping around because he was disqualified from this tournament. Why? We'll talk about that with him next right here on Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for a chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shyrock. One winner will receive round-trip domestic airfare, 3 nights hotel accommodations, a rental car, and $500 spending money. Our winner will also take home a Phoenix 618 Pro XP with a Mercury 150, plus a Lowrance HDS Live 7 with active imaging, a Rigid Industries deck lighting system and backup kit, gear from Abu Garcia, Bob's Machine, and more, and a Field & Stream $500 gift card. Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for more information.
From dawn to midday to dusk, the sun's rays dance across the water, and the sparkling light beckons. The abundant shorelines invite you to play, or sail, or simply behold. This is where champions fish, and families gather to unwind. It's Lake Hartwell, and Anderson is the gateway to its wonders. Walk on a pier, float all day, and restore your soul in this beautiful oasis. Visit Anderson, South Carolina's bright spot. Discover more at visitanderson.com and visitlakehartwell.com.
As fishermen, one of the things we love to do is proudly display our sponsors' logos on a beautifully designed tournament jersey. And the jersey of choice for Bassmaster Radio, Enigma Fishing, and Elite Pros Jesse Tecarante, John Cruz, and more are the ones that are made by Valley Fashions. So whether outfitting just yourself or an entire high school or college team, make Valley Fashions your first stop. Quality is unsurpassed. Timely delivery was a priority. And the pricing is better than you think. Do what the pros do. Visit VFOutdoors.com. That's VFOutdoors.com. And make Valley Fashions part of your team. For some of you, fantasy fishing is dragging a frog off a lily pad and seeing a six-pounder engulf it. Well, yeah, that is pretty good. But how about Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing? Set your team now at Bassmaster.com/fantasy, and you can win great prizes at each event. First place winners receive a $2,500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. And if that winner is a BASS member, they get an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card. And the season-long grand prize winner will receive a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175. So sign up now. Tom Abraham here for Enigma Fishing's Epon series of rods. I recently got my rods and was stunned at the quality of the workmanship that went into these rods. Enigma is known for the highest quality materials and components, but the Epon rod also combines great looks with some tremendous creature comforts as well. From the extremely comfortable reel seat to the E-wrapped handles and even a well-thought-out bait keeper. 10 models from drop shot rigs to a stout flipping stick. They've got them all at a great price. Visit EnigmaFishing.com for more. That's Enigma Fishing. Finally, the long lost missing opening day of Bassmaster Live is here. That's right. Now all 4 days of each Bassmaster Elite Series event can be found at Bassmaster.com and ESPN3. So tune in as the crew of Mark Zona, Dave Mercer, Davey Height, Ronnie Moore, and Mike Sukan are all led by the captain himself, Tommy Sanders, during each and every Bassmaster Elite Series event. With more cameras and more boats than ever, this season of Bassmaster Live is certain to be must-see streaming. Just don't let the boss look over your shoulder. Unless they're a Bassmaster fan too.
This is Bassmaster Radio. For tournament results, how-to articles and videos, or to become a member, visit Bassmaster.com. Now back to Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network. And of course, as I said in the open, one of the unfortunate things that happened coming into Gunnersville week was the disqualification of Jesse Tecarante, Enigma Pro Jesse Tecarante, and for a mistake that was literally a 15-hour mistake when he was trying to recover some waypoints that he had had in the past that he thought he didn't have. Turned out he did have them, and he got kind of caught up in the same rule that Derek Hudnall got caught up in earlier, the 28 day off limits rule. A lot of us are kind of confused by this. There's no question about it. But Jesse has owned it. He's hung around the tournament. He's helping out with Bassmaster Live and doing whatever it is that he can do. And he joins us here to talk a little bit about this. Now, by the way, 32nd in the points coming into this tournament, which puts him above the cut line for the Classic. So he's going to be having a rally a little bit when he gets up north. Jesse, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
A little bummed out. Not sure you can expect it. Not the way I wanted things to go this week, you know, but sometimes life throws you some curveballs and every now and then a guy will hit a curveball completely out of the park, you know. Yeah. So you just never know what.
So I would imagine
kind of bad.
I would imagine you're pulling for all the guys who are way up ahead of you, like in the AOI points list. You know, like you're squeezing for Patrick Walters and all of those guys that are way in front of you, so that you let them pull away. You don't want anybody that's behind you to have a big tournament.
Yeah, well, I figured it out. I mean, if you take my point, I'm at 300 and change, 328, and 61st is 252. So there's that's Chris Gross. So there's 75 points difference. That's as far as I can fall back down to 61st. But then, you know, if you go back up, well, then the points are only like 15 or 20 before you hit the 40s.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still got four derbies and you can go. You know, I just, like I said, this is not what I expected, and I'm sure Derek feels the same way. He got disqualified for that, and simple, stupid human error.
Well, explain it to us so that we can understand it in clear terms, because we know that there was this no information rule that was put in, and we know that this tournament was a change in the schedule, which kind of changed the clock as to when you could or couldn't get information. But then this happened during the 28-day off-limits period. So we understand that, where you can't fish at all or get any information. But it's kind of confusing for the average guy out there, including fans of the sport and guys like me who work in within the sport.
Yeah, well, we have a no information rule, period. Once a tournament location is announced, you are off limits to information. You're not off limits to pre-fish. That's the difference. So, for instance, next week I leave to Canada. I get back from Canada. I immediately leave to the St. Lawrence and Cayuga because I have a cutoff of pre-fishing there for July 12th. So I cannot be there. It's one is the 12th, and then the following week, I believe it's the 18th, is the cutoff for the other. So you have 28 days, which is no information rule still. It's the 12th and the 19th are the two cutoff dates for those particular bodies of water. So you have a 28-day period, you're not allowed to launch your boat. That's where Derek got penalized. He was in on the Monday. He launched. He fished all day, then realized, oh, my God, I'm at the cutoff, called in, and had to be disqualified. We'll talk about had to be later. Gunnersville was special because it was actually announced later in the year because of the West Coast swing that nobody wanted to go to with 5,000-mile round trip to Washington and to California. So they stuck in Oklahoma, and they stuck in Gunnersville. So during the week, the last week of October and the first week of November, that's when the Costa Championship was going on. So there was some of the elite guys that were fishing that, so they couldn't make it off limits until November 3rd. Well, this was announced, I believe, October 22nd. So, like, you know, some of the guys, some of the people that have been commenting don't agree, but I just chuckle at them. You have to. Any fisherman, I guarantee you, that week, every single elite was trying to get as much information about Gunnersville in July or June as they could, because that's just the way it is. Fishermen and hunters all help each other. We all, that community, you know that. And so I had sent out, I put up a post saying, hey, guys, anything, any help would be appreciated, you know, on June for Gunnersville. And
Let's stop right there before we go further. I want to stop right there because a lot of the people that have commented on the story that Brian Basher put up and your excellent response and statement that you put out, some of the people that are responding to that think that you guys should never get any kind of information. They shouldn't even tell you what lake you're going to. You just like show up with like a fishing rod and a bobber and a hook and a little Plano box, you know, with six lures in it, and you can catch fish. But isn't this part of being a pro, the research that you do and the information that you gather and so on and so forth? And it's not like, okay, you blindly are just going to go to spots that people tell you or use advice, but it's part of putting together your game plan. Isn't that a normal thing? Because I know I'm doing the same thing about every Easter. I'm going to the James River in July. I don't even know barely where the James River is. So I'm trying to get every piece of information I can get about it so I know how to pack, for God's sakes. Isn't that part of the process of a pro?
That is process, using your resources. And most of the time, we don't have that resource. This no information rule went into effect in 17 when I first started the elite. And then 18, they put that into effect.
Right.
So, okay, before that, you'd be, and anybody listening, if you're offended, I'm sorry, you'd be a complete idiot to think that Kevin Van Dam and Edwin Evers and all these guys built these careers by miraculously finding the best fish on an entire body of water they'd never been to with no help. They got more help than anybody because they were who they were. That is the way of the world. And you'd be really naive to not accept that as a fact. it's part of your toolbox. If I have the number one fisherman on Guntersville, who's a best friend of mine, and they announced Guntersville, and I have the option to call him and say, hey, Joe, take me out on Guntersville, man. Show me around. Why wouldn't I use that? It's part of my toolbox. It's a resource that's available to me.
Right.
It's a resource that's available to everybody. So when they did the no information rule, well, of course, we had that week span. So part of my research was, anybody that could help me out, it'd be greatly appreciated. Well, I probably got 30 or 40 little waypoints. It wasn't like a million of them out there. And to be frank, most of the time, and Tom, you know this, you fish, most of the stuff you're given doesn't really pan out anyway.
Right.
But it gives you a starting point to say, okay, right, this is kind of what I got to look for, you know. Now, if I was to show up Monday, this Monday, and say, hey, Tom, you just fished a tournament here. Give me the waypoints where you just caught all those fish. Well, now my chances and my competitive advantage over everybody else is unbelievable because you just won a tournament here 3 days ago.
Right.
Okay? We're not allowed to do that. That's the 28-day and the
but
year.
But if that so information is out
the,
there.
That's a misunderstanding that people don't get.
But that, if that information is out there publicly somewhere, say I had posted something about, you know, I used this lure and that grass and I did this and I put it on my Facebook page and I had pictures.
Part of your research.
You can look at
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah, you can look at it. Okay.
So I can say, if the smart angler, the smart elite angler, first of all, you didn't become an elite angler by mistake. That's number one. Number two, to be able to catch fish consistently in strange bodies of water, you have to utilize all your resources.
Right.
And your biggest resource nowadays is social media. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's there for everybody to see.
Yeah, Jesse Tecarante, our guest here, talking about the DQ that he suffered earlier this week. All right, let's get, we got about 2 or 3 minutes left, so let's get to the violation itself, the actual violation, the 15-hour window, basically, where the violation came up. Explain to us what the violation was.
Violation was, like an idiot, I dropped my phone overboard in Lake Lanier at that tournament. Okay, it was so cold, my hand was frozen, I actually dropped the phone over the side of the boat. So there went all my pictures, so I thought. I didn't know. So in haste, I put up another post, May 20th at 5:39 p.m. It says, hey, whoever sent me the Shell Bar waypoints, can you please resend it to me? It'd be no different than me asking you, hey, Tom, resend me an email I lost.
Right, right.
Okay? I already had the information. Well, it turns out, I went back and saw them to Facebook Messenger, and there they all were.
Right.
Well, when I went to my machine, I had already put them in. So whenever I got them back in October of last year, I already put them in. It was all there. And that's the information I forwarded Bass. I said, here you go. This is time-stamped information. I can't change that. Here's email. Here's pictures of Facebook Messenger. Here's the post asking for the information October 22nd. So did I really violate anything by re-asking right for something I already had to begin with?
And that's, if you had done it the day before on the 19th, none of this is an issue. So this was a 15-hour problem. This was a one-day...
15 hours and 38 minutes.
Yeah. And so, obviously, Trip Weldon has to make the call, and it's a severe penalty. There's no doubt about it. Do you think that it is something that when the fishermen meet each year, you know, in off-season with Bassmaster, that maybe they would look at these kind of violations having some sort of a gradual penalty, where it might be a penalty of a half a day, or it might be a, you know, some other type of points penalty? Like in NASCAR, they might hit a guy with a 20-point penalty where you're still fishing a turn or going in a race, but they knock 20 points off your total or something for the season. Do you think something like that could come about out of this?
It's going to have to, because two times this season already, two anglers, myself included, has received a death penalty, and that's not fair. So we're the only sport in existence that you get literally disqualified or ruined your whole season when you lose a tournament, right?
So you are left with, so it's something that they would probably look at, but you were left with the option of how you handle this thing. And at the end of the day, you know, it's the call that Bass has to make. And, you know, I personally think you showed a lot of class hanging around and dealing with this in a positive way and just taking your legs.
I'm not mad at Bass. Yeah. I'm not mad at Bass at all. Why would I be? At the end of the day, you have to consider that if it was good for Derek and they handled it equally for him, it has to be just as equal for anybody else, me included.
Yeah.
So I got to give Bass at least that and say, you were consistent. While I might disagree that the death penalty is not warranted, you killed both of us, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's you know, you can't weigh both sides and say, I want to be treated differently than the next guy. Because if it was up to me and Derek launched on Monday and he didn't know, I'd say, Derek, you fished today, so that means you got a day more than the other pros. You lose a day of practice. That's your punishment.
Yeah.
It was unintentional.
Right.
But it's just as fair to say you lose a day that they got tomorrow, because now you don't know what the current conditions were from a month ago.
Yeah.
So that should be a fair punishment. Hey, Jesse, you're in the penalty box for 4 hours the first day of the tournament. because that's the severity.
Right.
You guys get a 4-hour jump ahead of you.
Or the points thing.
Or you lose day practice or you fine. You know, $1,000 fine.
Yeah, or a points penalty. A points penalty to me, like I say, I use the NASCAR model. I say a points penalty, you know, and knock 20 points off your total or whatever. But
I don't agree with the points deal. I agree more with time, penalty boxes, and money.
That would make some
sense.
That's
where you really hurt yourself.
Well,
you know, to be sitting at the dock thinking, oh, wow, them guys are out there catching. They might have 20 pounds already. I'm still sitting here eating breakfast.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, from a bass standpoint, they really don't have that that in place to do that, to arbitrarily do that at this point.
No, but that's our goal. For the end of the year, we're going to meet and hopefully, you know, get this to where it's more logical, because it's not fair that literally for every infraction, you get the death penalty.
Yeah. Yep. Jesse, I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. A lot of guys would turtle up on this thing and not even want to talk about it, but you've talked about it openly. You wrote about it at Bassmaster.com. You've owned it. And, you know, all I could say is good luck when you get up north. You might slay them up there and you'll be right back where you are.
That's the goal, man. Bassmaster Classic bound. I'm not varying from that. I'm not letting this set me back. I'm just going to give it hell the rest of the year. And, you know, God willing, everything falls into place.
Yeah.
That's all we can hope for.
Fish Gunners will the next time, which will be the Classic next March. So, and it's a different
exactly.
Lifetime. So,
I got good weight points for the Classic anyway. I'm all right.
Jesse Tecarate has been our guest. Jesse, I appreciate you.
Yeah, man. You too, Tom. Thank you for having me, buddy.
Man, just a really tough situation for Jesse. Again, totally unintentional type thing. And I don't know, maybe... You know, maybe the issue of the 15 hours or it being past the off-limits period, it's a little bit vague because the rule at one point says, you know, once that information or once that lake becomes closed, any information or that lake is announced, and in this case it was November 4th because of the Costa event, then everything after that is a no-information window. And, of course, Jesse had gotten his information before that. He was just trying to find what he lost. And then on the other hand, then the next comment is the comment that is in the rule book that speaks to the 28-day period. Other than using publicly available information, competitors cannot solicit, gather, or intentionally receive any information via phone, electronic device, or other means of locating fish. And that says during the 28-day off-limit period. I think it's something that they will look at and maybe try and clarify a little bit, but it is what it is. He's got to own it. He has owned it, and he'll just have to battle his way back. All right, we'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
If you love bass fishing, then show your support by joining BASS today. Since 1968, BASS has been serving bass fishing enthusiasts with information and tournament coverage that make you a better angler. When you sign up today, you'll join over 500,000 outdoorsmen who love bass fishing. With your membership, you'll receive every issue of Bassmaster magazine, plus $50 in free gear, including a membership tackle bag, BASS cap, plus more. Log on to Bassmaster.com to join Bass today.
Bassmaster.com is the ultimate go-to destination for all things bass fishing. Whether you want the latest how-to information, up-to-date tournament and bass fishing news, information on state or world records, Bassmaster.com is the place to be. Also, be sure to check out Bassmaster's official social media accounts, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Give us a follow and see pictures, videos, and behind-the-scenes action from the bass fishing world. Find it all at Bassmaster.com. Visit the Bassmaster online store for all your official Bassmaster merchandise. Hats, t-shirts, sweatshirts, DVDs, and more. Buy for yourself or give as a gift. It's the perfect time of year to shop for the bass fishermen fans in your life. Check out the deals at Bassmaster.com/store. Also, be sure to check out Bassmaster's official social media accounts, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Give us a follow and see pictures, videos, and behind-the-scenes action from the bass fishing world.
As fishermen, one of the things we love to do is proudly display our sponsors' logos on a beautifully designed tournament jersey. And the jersey of choice for Bassmaster Radio, Enigma Fishing, and Elite Pros Jesse Tecarante, John Cruz, and more are the ones that are made by Valley Fashions. So whether outfitting just yourself or an entire high school or college team, make Valley Fashions your first stop. Quality is unsurpassed. Timely delivery was a priority. And the pricing is better than you think. Do what the pros do. Visit VFOutdoors.com. That's VFOutdoors.com. And make Valley Fashions part of your team.
This is Bassmaster Radio. The fish are in the live well, and we're heading for the dock. Now, back to Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Bassmaster Radio, and as we add all this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Visit Bassmaster.com to sign up and play Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. Individual elite winners will receive a $2,500 gift card to Bass Pro Shops, and one grand prize winner will win a 2019 Nitro Z18 with a Mercury 175, plus fantasy fishing winners who are BASS members when they set their teams will win an additional $500 Bass Pro Shops gift card, which is a great reason to become a member of Bass today. Join Bass and Fantasy Fishing by signing up at BassmasterFantasy.com. While at the site, click on Sweepstakes for your chance to fish with Bassmaster Elite Series Pro Hunter Shryock. The winner gets round-trip airfare, 3 nights of hotel accommodations, a rental car, and a $500 gift card from Field & Stream. Plus, a prize package including a Phoenix 618 Pro XP Bass Boat with a Mercury 150, Lowrance HDS Live 7 with active imaging 3-in-1, a PowerPole $500 gift certificate, plus gear from Abu Garcia, Berkeley, Spiderwire, and much, much more. Bass is also offering fishing fans a chance to win a new Toyota Tacoma pickup truck in its Ultimate Tacoma Sweepstakes contest. The grand prize winner will receive a 2019 Toyota Tacoma TRD off-road truck with genuine Toyota accessories and other accessories packages from other manufacturers, all with a total value of $43,167. The contest runs through September 29th. You can find both of these sweepstakes at Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes. Let's take a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. Next up, it's the BassPro.com Eastern Open at the James River out of Richmond, Virginia. That's July 25th through 27th. I'm fishing that one. Hope to see you there. The BassPro.com Bassmaster Central Open at the Mississippi River will be at La Crosse, Wisconsin, August 1st through 3rd. And August 1st through 3rd is also the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series Championship presented by Bass Pro Shops on Lake Chickamauga in Dayton, Tennessee. Now, if you're interested in having a front row seat to an elite event, priority registration is now open for the Bassmaster Marshall Program. Visit Bassmaster.com/elite for more information. And if you missed any of this week's show, just remember it's just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the home button and click on Bassmaster Radio. Plus, if you have any questions or guests you'd like to hear or a technique featured in our Technique of the Week, just tweet it to us at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio, or hit the Facebook page at Facebook.com/BASS and leave us a comment. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.